The Jackie Capri Show.
Hola, good afternoon and welcome to the Jackie Capri Show on Oculco Radio. I'm delighted to have in the studio this afternoon Rebecca Jane Davies and Stuart King, who are two of the cast in the award-winning West End musical The Jersey Boys, which is currently at the Prince Edward Theatre. The show has won 54 major awards worldwide and tells the true story of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. The show originally opened on Broadway in 2006 and received the Tony Award for Best Musical. And it opened in London in 2008. So, Rebecca and Stuart, how does it feel to be in such a successful award-winning West End show?
Pretty good, you know.
It's very cool.
Yeah, it's really nice to wake up every morning and head into work and know that you're going to a really kind of successful show, and you know your work is going to be really well received every night. Yeah, it's lovely.
Everyone that comes to see it always really enjoys it, so it's really nice when you have people in or meet people outside the stage door afterwards, and they always have really great things to say.
Isn't that nice?
It's really, really nice, and everyone that we work with is amazing as well, which makes it even better.
And in fact, I met a girlfriend, and I was flashing the programme, and I was saying, oh, this is so good, it's so wonderful, and I feel so high. It was really, really wonderful, and you could see that you all worked so well together.
Mm. Yeah, and we get that high when we come off stage.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
That's great. Now, Rebecca, it must have been so exciting for you to have your debut in this show. And, I mean, how did your agent break the news to you?
Well, I was doing Cinderella up in Wakefield last Christmas. It was about this time, actually. I think this week, maybe. It was on a Thursday, and I'd just finished doing a matinee, and I was having a cup of tea and cake with my flatmate and her family, and I got a call, and they rang me up, and they were like, just to update you on Jersey Boys, and it had been a couple of weeks since I auditioned, and I was just thinking, oh, they probably still haven't made their mind up, or whatever, and he just kind of said it really casually, he's like, so they want to offer you the role, and I was just like, what? And I just remember being, I didn't know whether to cry or scream or anything, I just couldn't believe it.
How exciting.
Yeah, and I can't believe it's a year ago now, I mean, time just goes so quickly. But
and how many auditions did you have?
Four.
Four.
Yeah.
And you must have thought each time, oh my god, I wonder what's gonna happen. And
I know, well, I just, you know, as long as you go in prepared and you yourself and confident, then you can't do anything else. I mean,
no.
You can only do the best that you can do in that moment, even if it goes slightly wrong. There's no use beating yourself up about it, because you have to do it quite
of course.
A lot, really.
Mm. And I mean, did they ask you to sing a couple of songs?
Yeah, so my first audition I took in my own song, and they also gave me Boyfriends Back from the show.
Great.
Because that was the part I was auditioning for.
Yeah.
So they heard my own song and then asked to hear that, and then we had a dance call, sung again, then an acting call, and then the final where you do all three things, and it's filmed for the Americans to make their decision, which is why it takes a little while afterwards. Yeah.
So it's the Americans who make the choice.
They make the final choice. So, the British panel kind of, they see who they like and they put them forward, and then it's up to the American producers and creatives to make their decision really at the end of the day, which is why it takes a while after we audition to actually hear.
Well, I think that's great, because to actually be seen by the American producers,
yeah, it's awesome.
That's good for you for the future, because you never know what's going to come out of it.
Well, fingers crossed.
So it's a double thing, really, that the Brits and the Americans.
Yeah.
And so, well, who knows what's going to happen in the future?
Yeah, who knows?
That's great. So that's the most exciting thing for you ever. You're playing Cinderella up in Wakefield.
Yes.
And then you get this wonderful part in a West End show.
Yeah, well, it's a dream, really, when you go to theatre school and everything.
Yes.
It's what you train to do. So I feel very lucky that I've been able to do it soon on.
It's not always what you expect's going to happen so soon.
No, it's you always get told you get the parts and things that you least expect to get. So, I mean, I obviously knew about Jersey Boys, and it's an incredible show to be a part of, but I've always seen myself as more of a classical singer, like Les Mis and all of that.
Yes.
So to get something so different, it means that I've learnt an incredible lot through the show.
Absolutely.
From people and vocally and everything, so it's a win-win, really.
No, that's really good. And had you been up for many West End auditions?
Yeah, quite a few. I've been out of college a year and a half now, and obviously I think what people forget a lot of the time is, even if you're successful, it seems like you go from one job to another, you're only really getting 10% of the auditions that you actually get put
of
up
course.
For. It's about 90% of them you don't get.
Of
and
course.
People forget that.
Yes.
So there were a lot of auditions I did and got quite far in and didn't end up getting, but I always believe in what's meant to be is meant to be, and there's always
exactly.
a reason why you don't get something. It can be the tiniest thing, so you have to kind of not think about it and believe in yourself.
Of course.
But yeah.
Oh,
it's very cool.
I agree. That's really nice. Right. Now, your first choice of music is Can't Take My Eyes Off You.
Yes.
Why have you chosen that?
Well, it's one of Frankie Valli's most successful solo songs, and it's actually his biggest hit until My Eyes Adored You. And in the show, you know, without giving much away, it almost didn't get released.
Oh.
So it's ironic that it was such a massive success
oh.
for him as a solo
yes.
artist.
Yes.
And it's just a great song. And it's very well known because it's been re-released a lot of times.
Yes. Oh, that's great. Well, we'll play it now.
Awesome.
You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. You'd be like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much. At long last, love has arrived, and I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. Pardon the way that I stay. There's nothing else to compare. The sight of you leaves me weak. There are no words left to speak. But if you feel like I feel, please let me know that it's real. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you.
Absolutely great.
So good.
Smashing. Now, Stuart, you're a swing for the show. Can you explain to our listeners what this entails and who you're covering?
So a swing is probably the hardest and the easiest job in the whole of the musical theatre business.
I don't know if I could do it.
So basically, what we do, we have to cover all the roles in the show. So in Jersey Boys, for instance, there are 5 male swings and 2 female swings. And between us, we cover all the roles that are on stage. So we only actually go on stage and do a role if somebody else is either off sick, injured, or on holiday, for instance.
Sure.
I cover the parts of Bob Crewe, Hank, Bob Gordio, Norm, and Barry. And of course, if you're not on, you just get to sit in the dressing room all evening, which is which is what makes it the easiest job in the West End. And, you know, I have my guitar in my dressing room, and I'm just sitting and playing guitar all night, which is
catching up on the telly.
Exactly,
it sounds good to me. But I can imagine, like, if suddenly something awful happened, like somebody broke an ankle on the stage, and you suddenly were on. Mm. I mean, that's a shock to the system, isn't it?
Well, exactly. I mean, all of our covers are kind of graded. So, for instance, I am first cover to Bob Crewe and to Hank, and second cover to some others, and I'm third cover to the part of Barry. So there's two other people that would go on before me. So the one and only time I've been on for Barry,
it was
kind of a last minute thing, as you said. It was kind of an on the day emergency thing. Now Barry is usually played by a guy called Tommy Earl
Jenkins.
There you go. sorry, TJ, I forgot your surname. But no, he's an amazing performer, a black guy, and of course, you know, I don't want to reveal too much, but the show opens with the 2000 release of
Oh, what a
night. Thank you very much, Becca.
We're a team, it's fine.
Exactly, she remembers everything I forget. Which was actually released by a French rap artist in the year 2000. And he obviously raps the rap in French in a very cool way, because he's, you know, he's a pretty cool guy. Of course, when I try and rap in French, I sound like the whitest Kent boy ever.
He pulled it off. I'm sure.
Oh no, it was rather embarrassing. me looking rather, you know, upper middle class and trying to be down with it, failing miserably. But no, it was great. It was great fun. And that's what I love about the job, is this the ability to, the variation of it all, to be able to go on and do any part in the show, and I quite enjoy, you know, the uncertainty.
He's a brilliant swing.
I'm sure.
He's got a very good reputation.
Oh, that's lovely. So, I mean, was it sudden? I mean, did he do something to himself and say that you had to go on, or were
you
given some notice?
I can't remember the exact situation, but yeah. I think
there were other people off.
Yeah,
so
I think TJ himself was on holiday, and other people were off sick, and a couple of because other people cover other things, and I was the only person left able to do that part. So that was kind of a last-minute decision.
Well, I mean, that happened to me once. I was in the West End in the original production of Doctor Who.
Oh, wow.
And I was covering the girl assistant, and I was also the Emperor Dalek. And suddenly, Wendy, who played the girl assistant, was off. But the producers hadn't thought to buy me any clothes. And I was rehearsing in my trousers. And, of course, there was a lot of screaming and running to the TARDIS. And as I screamed and ran to the TARDIS, and the producer suddenly walked in, my trousers split from crotch to ankle.
Oh,
so how embarrassing is that?
Oh, wow.
So, of course, they had to rush me off to Carnaby Street and get me the clothes. But, but at least I'd learned my lines.
Exactly.
The guy who was playing, he was also understudying the other companion, who was a guy, he hadn't learned his lines, so he had to go on with the book, because he didn't really expect to go on. And for me, that would be terrible, not learning lines, because in case, look how many parts you have to learn.
Well, exactly.
And the songs.
Yeah.
So I have done it. I've understudied twice in the West End, so I know what it's like.
It's funny, isn't it? You end up kind of knowing all the lines of all the parts, and then realising, okay, I'm that person. There was one funny time when I was playing Bob Crewe, but in an early rehearsal that day, I'd been playing Bob Gordio. And so there's one scene where the two have a conversation with each other, and I almost started speaking Bob Gordio's lines.
Yes.
And I was having a conversation with myself in my head. No, wait, there, I shall say his lines today, because he's opposite me and he can say his lines. It's okay, I don't need to do both.
Well, it almost makes you feel schizophrenic, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, who are you?
It's hysterical. Right, now you've chosen Sherry, and why have you chosen that one?
So this comes at a point in the show where the band make it big time. Before this, they've had so many incarnations of who's in the band and what kind of music they're playing. But this song, Bob Gordio writes in a moment of inspiration, and runs to the guys and says, "Look, I've got this. I don't really have any words apart from Sherry, Sherry, baby." And he goes,
"That's
like,
a good force letter."
So that kind of kickstart their career. They sell 120,000 records in the first weekend of it being released.
Great.
And you know, a month later they've broken a million, and that really kickstarts their career. So and this kind of is the point in the show where it goes. It's kind of a medley of Sherry, Big Girls Don't Cry, and Walk Like a Man, which kind of all run into each other. So, yeah.
Oh, it's one of my favourites, actually. But I've got to tell the listeners that, in fact, I did see Stuart as Bob Crew the other day, and he was wonderful. Very, very good. So I'm pleased I managed to see you when you were on stage.
Oh, thanks.
I'll just put this on now.
And then one day, a tune pops into my head. I jot down some dummy words, Nick and I do a quick head arrangement, then we call the studio and sing it to crew. And the whole world exploded!
It's really
great,
good,
isn't it? Yeah.
I think I probably told you that we went to see Frankie Valli earlier this year at the Albert Hall.
Did you?
Oh, he was wonderful.
My grandparents meant to see him at the Bic in Bournemouth, but he had to cancel because he wasn't very
well.
Oh,
we heard about that. So, in fact, I rang up the Albert Hall to make sure he was still performing.
Oh, good.
And, I mean, he looked and sounded incredible. He's 79, and yet he can still sing the high notes.
He still
will
goes
never
for it.
Stop.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And we didn't know. My husband said to me, because my husband is a singer, he said, I wonder if he will be able to get the high notes or whether he'll have the backing of the guys.
Mm.
But he did it. I mean, he was, and he had everybody up dancing.
Yeah, of course.
It was
just like it says in the show, at the end of his speech, at the end of the show, he says something, I'm going to paraphrase awfully here.
Bunny.
Yeah, he's like the that bunny you see on TV. It just keeps going and going and going. He's just always chasing the music. Trying to get home.
It's quite
cool.
It was just lovely.
He's just such a professional, and he's a workaholic. You know, he can't doesn't know how to do anything else.
No,
he's just always done it ever since
ethic.
The age of 16.
Well,
he's just always been a performer and just doesn't know how to not be a hard worker. He's brilliant. He's an amazing guy.
I think he'd probably die if he stopped, because that's what keeps him going.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And but he's got all this vitality, so full of life. And actually, the guys he had with him were brilliant.
Mm.
They were obviously handpicked,
mm.
and it was lovely the way, because I mean, Bob Gaudio was there.
Yeah.
And he was actually saying, you know, like it says in your show, everything's 50-50.
Mm.
They've never signed a contract.
Exactly. It's all done on a handshake.
On trust.
Yeah. I mean, it was great. And we're really thrilled. My husband got the tickets ages ago, and then he told me. And, you know, we were so hyped. In fact, David recorded some of the music on his tablet. Mm-hmm. And we were walking back from the Albert Hall, because we live in Westminster. We walked all the way home singing all the songs.
Oh, nice.
It was just so lovely.
People say that after they come to see the show. When I've had friends, they've downloaded it off iTunes as soon as they got home. Mm. And then I've met them for coffee in the week, and they're just absentmindedly singing it.
Yeah.
Just like, oh,
exactly. Blimey. It's funny for, like guys of our generation and younger as well. I have so many friends come along and see it, and I was like, I didn't realise they wrote all those songs.
Yes.
I didn't really know the band or know the kind of who they were, but I knew
Beggin's
the songs.
One of them as well that a lot of people know, because I can't remember who it was re-released by, but I remember listening to that when I was younger.
But it's like they've just written so many hits.
Yes.
So many hits. It's
ridiculous. And they were very big in this country as well, very popular. Mm. I mean, without giving too much away, I used to dance to their music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, and I still do.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's great.
It's just that beat, isn't it? It's just so funky. Yeah. You can't help but drive along to it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely amazing.
It's so good.
Now, Rebecca, you play the part of Francine, Frankie's daughter. But you also play 15 other parts.
I know, it's a bit
lots
mental,
of quick
really.
Changes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you must use up so much energy on stage.
Yeah, well... there's three of us, three girls, and we have to play every single woman that ever comes into the Four Seasons lives, really.
Yes.
But it's really cool because it never gets boring.
No.
And it's very rewarding as a performer to be able to play so many different types
of
people. And ironically, I don't actually play my name part until my penultimate scene in the show.
Yeah.
But I mean, I get so many other little great cameo parts during it that it really doesn't matter. And, you know, it's so much fun. And I always get told I have so much energy anyway.
Oh, yes.
So it's probably a good,
it comes across.
Job that I did get a job where I get to, you know,
expel some of your excess energy, which you are so very blessed with.
I know.
we love our Becca because she keeps us up.
Oh.
When everybody else has got a bit tired, Becca will come in with a cake, usually.
Oh, yeah. even better.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And get everybody's energy back.
I have the nickname Rebecca David.
Oh, that's lovely. Exactly. So you keep them all happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's birthday. I love it, though, because I find it really therapeutic.
Oh, it's lovely. Oh, you do it yourself. It's your homemade cake.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I plan to enter the Great British Bake Off next year.
Oh,
so
wow.
Watch this space. Well, I don't know if it'll happen.
So tell me, what sort of cakes do you bake?
Everything, really. I don't really tend to follow a recipe. I just kind of bung in what I feel like. I've made a Reese's peanut butter cup cake. Oh.
You made me a coffee and walnut cake.
Oh, I love that. My favourite.
Oh, the best coffee and walnut cake I've ever tasted.
Oh, how divine.
And everyone likes my blueberry and vanilla cake.
That
sounds nice.
Yeah.
And do you do carrot cake?
So one thing I haven't made, I said that the other day actually at work, because I've never made a carrot cake.
I'm sure you could make a really good carrot cake.
Yeah, I should.
That's what you should do next.
Definitely should, yeah.
Oh, that's lovely. Oh, it sounds delicious. So you're a very busy girl. Not only are you on stage playing all these parts, but you bake loads of cakes as well.
I try. I like to stay busy outside of work as well. It's really important. Mm. Especially as, like, because we only work 3 hours a night, really, so you have your whole day free.
Of course.
Well. And being in the industry we're in, you kind of have to keep on top of your game, so it's kind of important to
go
to class or keep up with your instruments like Stuart does, or go to singing lessons. So we end up with pretty busy weeks, so it's definitely very busy bees.
And you do dance classes as well?
Yeah, I go off to Pineapple.
Lovely.
And do a couple of classes a week, and I just enjoy it. I wouldn't do it if I didn't enjoy it. If I suddenly went, oh, I don't want to go.
Oh, no. It's pretty good, the Pineapple, actually. Whose classes do you do there?
I do Linda's Jazz, Alex's Ballet Bar, and I do Derek's Tap on a Saturday.
Oh, I used to go to Derek Hartley's.
Did you?
I love his tap classes.
He's such a sweetheart. He's so nice.
Oh,
and
I love
his class.
He's a genius
as well.
He's wonderful.
Really
good. No, I used to enjoy his classes, actually, because I used to go quite a lot. It's great.
Yeah,
oh, funny.
Brilliant.
Keep meeting people who go to Derek Hartley's tap classes.
I've actually met a few people who have said that to me.
Strange.
Popular man.
Well, your next choice, and actually it's the one where you sing My Boyfriend's Back, and you actually sing that on stage as one of the three angels.
Yeah,
and I didn't recognise you, of course, because you had the wig on.
I always say to people, because I have 14 wigs, and I always say, I'm like, it's a bit like Spot Becca.
Yeah.
People that, you know, have known me since a young age, they're like, no, I could spot you a mile off, it's your face. But because I have like a long blonde wig, little like dark crop wigs and the ginger bob and everything, it is quite, I find it hard to recognise me, I think. But, you know, I think it's as well, every character has a different attitude and persona. So, because you're not being yourself on stage, it's...
Well, it's lovely because, in fact, when you do have the wig on and the costume, you find the character with the costumes and everything.
Yeah.
And now, I loved this song for years. I loved it, but I never knew that the name of the three girls were the three angels.
Yeah, the angels.
I hadn't... Oh, they're called the angels.
Yeah, they're called the angels.
Oh, wow. Oh, now I know. Many years later.
One weekend, Frankie and I drive down to Atlantic City looking for an opening act and come back with The Angels, a girl group with a number one single. Suddenly, the road is much more interesting. Two cars, three girls, four guys. Infinite possibilities.
Hey, la, hey, la, my boyfriend's back. And he knows I wasn't cheating. Now you're gonna get a beating. What made you think he'd believe all your lies? Oh, oh, you're a big man now, but he'll cut you down to size. Oh, wait and see.
My boyfriend's back, he's gonna save my reputation.
You and Rebecca, you went to the same drama school, but not at the same time, I gather.
Yes,
is that right?
Yeah, we did. I actually graduated nearly 10 years ago.
Oh,
which
wow.
Is rather longer than your year and a half, which makes you feel rather old. But no, we both went to Arts Educational School of Musical Theatre, which is in Chiswick, West London. It's honestly such a brilliant college, and anybody who is ever thinking of going into the musical theatre business should definitely audition for arts, please. Go there.
Yeah.
No, but it's just so great. It's such
it's just
great training.
Better and better, really,
yeah,
isn't
absolutely.
It well?
They've recently just built a brand new theatre, which's been kind of paid for by Andrew Lloyd Webber himself.
Yes.
And we've just been sent some photos of it. It's incredible. This huge double tiered.
Oh. I went to see Evita, the current third year's production, which was the first musical theatre production in the theatre.
And oh, really?
It's amazing. Oh. Like, I sit there, and I'm just like, I can't believe this is where I did one of my shows. But it is beautiful, and I think it's going to do so much for the college, you know.
So is the theatre based on the same premises?
It's in the same theatre. We're very lucky at ArtsEd that they have a theatre and a studio theatre. Mm. So the theatre was just a normal proscenium arts theatre, and then the studio theatre, they can make whatever sets they want out of it, and they make incredible sets as well. Like, it's amazing. So they've done it on the same theatre, but now they've got a band pit, and they've got an extra kind of dress circle level, and they have curtains and a gauze and all of that. So it just gives a lot more things for them to work with in a production and make it a lot more professional. It's brilliant. It's really good. Yeah.
But how lovely that Andrew Lloyd Webber paid for it.
Yeah, well, he's the president of the college.
Oh,
yeah.
Is he?
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I think it was when I was in my third year that he gave the grant to the college.
Oh, that's great.
To do it. But yeah, it is brilliant for him to give back to us and everything. Yeah. So.
What a lovely guy.
What a lovely guy.
Well, I notice a lot of West End shows, a lot of them are from the Arts Educational. And I think we were talking about this the other day. Did we say it's not the one connected with Tring?
No, it was called Arts Ed Tring. And I can't remember if it is completely connected, but now it's not. It's just called Tring Park.
Right.
Because we have a few people in our show that went to Arts Ed Tring. Mm. Very talented people, like leaving when they were 18 and going straight into it and everything. Mm. But I don't know if it was.
No, it was never really connected. I don't know why the name was the same. Arts Ed Tring was much more of a ballet school.
Yes.
Much more concentrated on the ballet side of it.
And also, the one that I'm thinking of was originally in Piccadilly, and then they moved further out, and then they moved to the Barbican. So I don't know if that's anything to do with yours at all.
I'm not sure.
But that's my experience of Arts Ed through people who went there.
Right.
So
maybe
be,
that could have been the acting, maybe. The acting
school. Oh, it could well be.
Because
yeah.
now they are together in the same yes. building, but they could have been. I don't know.
Mm.
Yeah.
I
really don't know. But yeah.
Now, you two were in the RSC's production of West Side Story.
Yeah!
Yeah, that's where I first met
that,
Stuart.
That must have been fun.
It was brilliant, you know.
Oh, I love that show.
It was such a beautiful show, because it was the first time it had ever been re-choreographed from the original Jerome Robbins choreography.
It felt like doing an original production.
Yeah,
because
usually, if you ever do a professional version of West Side Story, you have to do the original Jerome Robbins choreography.
Yes.
But they got special permission for it to be re-choreographed by an amazing guy called Will Tuckett. It's just the most amazing choreography.
Yeah.
He's choreographed The Wind in the Willows at the
Duchess.
The Duchess this Christmas, which is just it's just the most beautiful choreographer. So we were really blessed to work with him, and it was up in at the Sage in Gateshead, which is the most amazing.
It's like a giant silver bubble on the Tyne.
It's a concert hall. If you've ever been there, it's just a most amazing venue. It's huge.
Oh,
but
wow.
And we were able to do it as well with the
Northern Symphonia
that's
Orchestra,
right.
conducted by
John
Wilson.
John Wilson, exactly, yeah. it was great. It was the first time it had been done with a full orchestra.
Oh, that must have been fantastic.
In the UK, so it was just so beautiful.
We were
beautiful.
So incredibly lucky.
The first day we
it.
Heard that orchestra on the Sitzpro, they played the overture and we were just all in tears. Because it just sounded incredible.
I was so lucky because I got I played Rosalia because we understudied Marie and Tony together.
Yes,
and did you go on at all?
No.
Oh,
it was
not.
Only like five performances.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we didn't get to go on, but we did all the hard work
backstage, didn't we?
And we were practicing and dancing together and everything. The orchestra was beautiful and I played Rosalia and I was really lucky that I got to sing Somewhere, which is the most beautiful song.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
And
isn't
I just
it?
Remember on that Sitz probe singing it with the orchestra and I was like, I can't believe this is happening right now.
Isn't that wonderful?
I know.
And was it only five performances because it was part of a festival? Is that
it's part of the World Shakespeare Festival?
Yeah.
And I think it got a lot of interest from Japan and stuff, but unfortunately we weren't allowed to do anything else with it because it was new choreography and we were only allowed to do it for that time.
Yeah, the rights from the Bernstein, estate said that you could only do a limited amount of it.
Oh, I see. Yes.
But so it was so beautiful to do it in that time.
Oh, it must have been. And how many weeks rehearsal did you get for that?
Seven.
Yeah.
Or at least you had 7 weeks.
Yeah.
You need that, don't you? Exactly. We had like a week in London to learn the stuff, and then we were up in Newcastle for 7 weeks, which was really, really cool because we got to explore Newcastle and we were like a big family.
Yeah,
and
great.
We went
lovely.
To the cinema every week. And it was such a cool experience. It was my first job out of college. So to be able to work on something so beautifully unique and with such great people, like, I will never forget it. And talking about it now, it just. Re-emphasises to me how amazing it was.
And as Rosalia, were you one of the girls who sang I Feel Pretty as well?
Yeah, I was in that, but I was the girl in America who loves Puerto Rico.
Oh, yes.
I kind of played this, like, uptight Catholic Puerto Rican girl.
Yeah, oh, great.
So kind of a comedy character, really, but I loved it. I love sinking my teeth into characters like that. It's really fun.
Well, that's the sort of show, I mean, you can see it year after year. It although it's of a different era, it doesn't seem to date. Although it's a period piece as
well.
Well,
it's touring the UK at the moment, the original production.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of friends in that, and my flatmate went to see it, and he said it was amazing.
It's just such a great show. You know, there's a reason why it was such a pivotal show for the history of musical theatre.
Yeah, it was.
It's one of the first shows that was a book musical, that the songs actually furthered the plot of the show.
Yeah.
It was one of the first.
So
it had
that operatic quality.
Yeah.
Yes. Well,
beautiful music.
Did you know that when Princess Margaret saw it for the very first time, when it first came to Her Majesty's from America, she saw it five times.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah, she loved it so much.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, though, because it's such a great show.
Now, Stuart, you've chosen next Big Girls Don't Cry, and why have you chosen that one?
Well, yeah, as I was saying earlier, this comes this was the second hit from them. They had these three hits in quick succession, so this was the second one, and they just kind of they were kind of working off a formula now. In that this was still the very rock and roll kind of late 50s, early 60s formula of the I'm going to be a music geek here now, but the C, A minor, F, G kind of. way of doing songs. A very simple kind of AABA way of doing songs. So it just kind of really worked for them. But these ideas came from Bob Gaudio. Of well, he's thinking, well, I've had one hit. What am I going to write about now? And he says he was watching this film, this old kind of this old Western film, and the character turns around to the lead actor and says, "Big girls don't cry." And that leads straight into
inspiration
the song.
Came.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, great. Well, you can get inspired by all sorts of things, really.
Yeah, indeed.
Geniuses.
Yeah, such brilliant. They're just all just great songs. Yeah, really great.
Now, Rebecca, you played several good parts whilst you were training, such as Kathy Seldon in Singing in the Rain, and Rita in Sweet Smell of Success. And you also performed at the Not Forgotten Society's 19th anniversary at Buckingham Palace. What was that like?
It was very, very cool. Yeah. I was in my first year at college, actually, and we got picked by Chris Hocking, who is the head of Arts Ed, a very, very excellent man. And he picked, I think it was six girls, and actually my flatmate, Dan Clift, and we got to learn some choreography with Dougie Carter, and... yeah, it was just part of their anniversary, and we did Rhythms of Life, and we did a traditional Charleston tea party kind of thing, and it was for a lot of war veterans and things, and it was in the beautiful ballroom in Buckingham Palace, and it was very, very surreal, not going to lie.
It must have been lovely.
It was lovely, and my grandma is a big fan of the Queen as well.
Oh, so am I, actually.
A big fan of the Queen, and yeah. I told her I was doing it. She's like, oh, you can meet the Queen. But it wasn't for her. It was, I met Princess Anne.
Oh, did you? I've heard she's very nice,
she's
actually.
She's very lovely. I stood in the corridor waiting to go on, and she came past. She was like, have a good time.
Oh, how sweet.
She spoke to me.
Oh, that's lovely.
But I actually say, we got given these sandwiches, like, on the day, and they were just from out of the palace in a little packet, but it said for the royal household.
Oh.
So I took one and put it in my bag and gave it to my grandma.
Oh, why not?
She was so happy.
Oh, yes,
so
why
happy.
Not? I think everybody does that if they've got a chance. I've heard all sorts of stories of what people have taken from the palace.
Well, does that mean you've just stolen from the royal family? We should expect the royal guard outside the building.
I shouldn't
after
have said that, should I?
See, well, I know people who've taken more than that, I can tell you.
It was so gorgeous in there, and yeah, I won't forget that either. Aww. A very lucky girl.
Oh, what a lovely thing. Now, you've chosen Who Loves You. Why have you chosen that?
Well, it's the finale song to the whole show, and everyone gets together and has a nice big sing-song and a dance, and I just think it's a really, really good feel-good song, and it gets everyone together at the end of the show, so I just thought it'd be nice to have a little listen to it.
Oh, yeah, get us going as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, exactly.
Is this where we all get up in the audience and dance to it?
Yeah!
Yeah, I thought it was, yeah.
It's such great. A great feeling in the show, because that's the point where everybody's on stage, including the whole band. So you've got the whole brass section on the bridge.
I love the way they all came up.
And you've got the rhythm section underneath. It's so great, because it's kind of...
That's you with your tambourine when you're on the Bob Crew.
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
Well, that's just it. It makes it so much more... It's all about the music. It's all about the music they wrote, and the guys themselves. It's just, it's really nice.
It's terrific. Really good. Now, Stuart, you've played many parts in musicals, both in London and around the UK.
Mm.
Which are your favourites?
Oh, there's been quite a few, you know. I recently, a couple of years ago, played Rocky in Rocky Horror, the Rocky Horror
great.
Show. Which is great fun. Great fun prancing around a stage in nothing but your pants.
Yeah, of course. What else?
Well, exactly. Yeah, that was great fun. But also, you know, I've done great jobs like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, where I met my gorgeous wife on that show.
Talk about your gorgeous wife. Yes. And giving you lots of support along with your family.
Yeah, no, she's brilliant. They're brilliant. We met on Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. And and we were lucky enough to...
I love those romances.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We were lucky enough to go to far-flung places such as Singapore with that show, and we spent 6 weeks out in Singapore.
How romantic.
Yeah, it was that's kind
an
of...
amazing adventure.
Yeah,
love
it was
all
great
that.
Fun. Yeah, yeah. So it's been a really good time. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's lovely. Well, you have now chosen Walk Like a Man, another favourite of mine.
Yes, yes, indeed. Yeah, so this was the third of the big three. We call them the show. We call them the big three. This was the big three. So the third hit they had. It did cause a bit of argument within the band, though, because Tommy DeVito didn't quite get it. He was like, well, you know, I don't get it. What's with the title? Walk Like a Man. What are we trying to say to people? And Bob Gaudio says, well, we're trying, it's for kids. We're trying to get them to act like men. He says, instead of what? Girls? No, instead of boys. Why aren't you getting this? And then Bob Crewe has this amazing line. It says, look, Miss Congeniality, it's a metaphor. This is an anthem for every guy who has ever been twisted around some girl's little finger.
Yeah. Love it. I'm glad you did that. That's really good. Rebecca, I know your family have given you great support during your training and career, and they've made many sacrifices for you. They must be very, very proud of you.
Yeah, they are. I have the most incredible family. Like, it's ridiculous. I when I was at secondary school and everything, all I wanted to do was go to drama club and dance and sing. And my parents could have been like, no, get a proper job. There are many people in my school life who, you know, teachers and things said, you should go do an English degree and then do an MA in it. And I was like, no, that's not what I want to do. Yeah. I know for what I want to do, I need to go to proper, you know, college and everything and train. And I actually wanted to leave when I was 16. And my parents, because my mum's a teacher and my dad's a financial advisor,
so very sensible,
you know, they do things properly. And that my dad was like, no, you're not going when you're 16. You're going to do your A-levels. You're going to get your A-levels behind you, so you can go and do a degree, because I was very lucky that I got a degree in musical theatre from ArtZ.
Which is great.
Yeah, it's really good. Like, I mean, it's not about that. It's about the training. But,
of course it is, yes.
It's just nice to know I got a degree.
Well, that is nice
as
well.
Have a graduation.
It's a bonus.
Exactly. Oh. But my parents, they always carted me around to dance lessons, singing lessons. I mean, I was the girl, when I think about it, I didn't really have a social life in secondary school. I'd go to school, I'd go straight to my dance club, I'd do my homework there and eat my tea, then go and do two dance classes, come home, do my homework, go to bed. I don't actually know when I managed to see friends or how I had any friends, but I did, so that's okay. But yeah, they've just, you know, they saw me through drama school. I mean, it's a very expensive 3 years.
Of course it is, yes.
And without their, you know, love and support and everything. I would not have been able to do it. So I owe my career to them, and I just want to keep working hard and doing the best I can so that they can continue to be proud of me and know that they never wasted a second investing in me. So
I'm sure they don't think they've wasted anything.
No, I know.
And,
yeah.
You know, and I mean, because now it's so hard, people don't get grants anymore, and it's much harder. And you know, now it's all affiliated to universities, which never used to be anything like that at all. So I think that is wonderful that they were so supportive. Yeah. And now it's paid off, because, you know, you're in West End shows and it's terrific.
Hopefully it's just the beginning.
It is the beginning. I just know it. I feel it.
Thank you.
It's really good. Now, you've chosen Fallen Angel.
Yes.
And what's your reason for that?
It's a beautiful song. It's another solo single from Frankie Valli. But the significance of this song is that it was written after he lost his daughter, Francine.
Oh, yes.
Which, you know, is a very emotional part in the story. And I think most people during this song shed a little tear. But, you know, I think it means so much in the show because it has such real significance to Frankie Valli.
Yes,
and I remember our director telling us that, you know, when it was first premiered in London, he was very nervous because when Frankie and Bob came to see it, there's that part in the show where Frankie's watching himself as his daughter died, and it's that almost, you don't know how someone's able to do that. But as you said, he's obviously a very strong character.
Yes.
And, yeah, it's just a beautiful song.
Oh.
So have a little listen.
We will.
You're home again. I'm glad you kept the key. Been waiting here. It seems a million years to me. But hush now, I know you're all crying out. It's all right. Inside I've had no doubt about your love for me. I can see behind the tears. I'm certain of the way we feel. And given time, the hurt will heal. You're home again. So won't you close the door? Stay here with me, and we'll forget what's gone before. Just hold me tight. Love is gonna make it right. Put shadows way beyond recall. The ghost has almost gone. Fallen angel, I forgive you. Can't help the things you do. Now something's gotten hold of you. Fallen angel, got a demon in your soul. And later when the fever's gone, I'll be here where you belong.
It's been more than 20 years since these guys were on the same stage together. And what better stage for a reunion than the one right here at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Ladies and gentlemen, here they are, my old friends and brand new Hall of Famers, the original Four Seasons!
Aww.
And then it goes into something else.
Oh, God, yes. Oh, that was very poignant, that was.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous song.
Yeah.
Now, before we play Stuart's Last Choice, what are your plans, both of you, for the future?
Well, you know, I'm actually staying on with the show next year.
Great.
So we're going to be remaining in Jersey Boys until at least 2015, which is great for
That's
me.
Wonderful.
And then just a few other projects coming up. Myself and my wife run a band called the Daisy Chains. Sorry, shameless plug here.
They're
called the Daisy Chains. They're an all girl rock and roll group.
Yes.
They're a 6-piece, and they all play their own instruments and sing. Find us on Twitter and Facebook, the Daisy Chains.
Very good.
And where's your part in this? If it's
so,
a
I am Mr. Manager.
See,
that's the thing.
I'm the territory.
See, that's the thing about having a group full of lovely women, in that they are very, very talented and can make an amazing sound. But I'm surrounded by women, so I'm scared now. But they can't really organise themselves.
No, no.
So that's what takes. That's what I do. And sorry, my wife's gonna probably hate me now, but she'll I am useful in many ways.
So what does she play?
She plays in the band. She plays tenor saxophone and sings.
Oh,
but
very good.
Yeah, she plays a ridiculous amount of instruments. She's one of those annoyingly beautiful people that can pick up any instrument pretty much and play it. And so she plays all the saxophones and flutes and pianos and clarinets and oboes and I play all the...
How interesting,
isn't it?
I know.
Yeah,
I'm
very jealous.
And then I go and play all the string instruments and drums and things like that. And so our house is overrun by instruments.
You'll be having to move out soon and go into a bigger place.
Yeah, we've just moved to a place.
Oh, really?
Which has our very own music room. I know.
Where's that?
Actimuso's dream.
Outside London? Or?
Yeah, well, just outside. It's in South East London in Eltham.
Oh, great stuff.
Yeah.
Great. So, what, the band's going on tour around the UK?
Yeah, so we're just doing a few engagements at the moment. We've got a few bookings next for next year for a few of the horse races and things like that.
Oh, very good.
But yeah, we're actively looking for gigs. So if anybody needs a rock and roll group, look up the Daisy Chains.
Well, you ought to tell the listeners what the website is.
Absolutely. Well, the website is www.thedaisychains.co.uk. You can also find us on Twitter, just type in the Daisy Chains, and on Facebook as well. So, yeah, give us a shout.
Great. Yay. Great. And Rebecca, what are your plans for the future?
Well, I'm leaving in March.
Yes.
I've had the most incredible year, but I kind of went into the job knowing that it would only be for a year because, like I said, hopefully it's just the start and I want to get more things on my CV and
of
be as
course.
Successful as Stuart next to me.
Of course.
But I have got another job which I'm starting a week after I finish, very
exciting.
Luckily.
Exciting.
But I can't say much about it, which is a shame.
But it's
all hush hush.
But that's all right because we'll find out what it is eventually.
Yeah, but it's in a theatre outside of London and is hopefully going to transfer to the West End next year. So fingers crossed for that.
Oh.
But I'm really looking forward to it. It should be an amazing new project and meet lots of new people and meet new friends.
Fantastic.
And experiences.
Well, I wish you both a lot of luck.
Thank you so much.
And every success for the future. Now, Stuart, your last choice is My Eyes Adored You.
Mm.
Why have you chosen that?
I for this one, it's just such a beautiful song. It's in the show, it comes towards the end of Act One, where the cracks in the band are just starting to show.
Mm.
Frankie is just kind of splitting up with his first wife, and the joys of the big three are starting to wane a little bit.
Moment.
Yeah,
but My Eyes Adored You is actually his biggest selling solo single of all time.
Mm. Oh, it was actually written much later in their life. That's the thing about the show. A lot of the songs are in kind of chronological written order, except for a few, like this one. This one's kind of
it's appropriate for the
exactly. It just kind of worked with the story a bit better. Yeah.
Oh well, we'll have a little listen.
Yeah.
A little listen.
My eyes adored you, though I never laid a hand on you. My eyes adored you. Like a million miles away from me, you couldn't see how I adored you. So close, so close, and yet so far. Headed for city lights, climbed the ladder up to fortune and fame. Worked my fingers to the bone, made myself a name. Funny I seem to find that no matter how the years unwind, still I reminisce about the girl I miss and the love I left behind. My eyes adored you, though I never laid a hand on you. My eyes adored you. Like a million miles away from me, you couldn't see how I adored you. So close, so close, and yet so far. My eyes adored you, though I never laid a hand on you. My eyes get so far. So close, so close, and yet so far.
Oh, that was beautiful. Absolutely so beautiful. Nice. Mm. Now, for those of you who want to go and see the Jersey Boys, which I hope now that you've heard our two lovely people who were in today and the music, the Jersey Boys is currently on at the Prince Edward Theatre, Old Compton Street. Performances are Tuesday to Saturdays, 7:30, Tuesday and Saturday matinees at 3 o'clock, and Sundays at 5 o'clock. The tickets are £20 to £67.50. There's also Senior Sundays. Senior citizens may buy top price tickets for £27.50 at Sunday performances. And the box office number is 0844 482 5151. And the show will be going on until March the 11th at that theatre. And on March the 14th, it opens at the Piccadilly Theatre in Denman Street, which is not very far away. And the performance times and days are the same. And the box office number there is 0844 871 7630. And the website address is www.jerseyboyslondon.com. Do go along to the Prince Edward Theatre. Well, thank you so much
you,
for coming
thank
in.
Thank you for having us.
Well, it's been wonderful. Yeah, what a pleasure.
Felt like a little radio DJ.
Oh, yeah. well, that's really good. And hopefully I'll see you both again when you're doing other things.
Yeah,
that'd be lovely.
Which will be wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you once again, listeners, for joining me. It's always a pleasure for you to come and listen and for me to have your company. And I will be with you again next week, so please join me. Bye for now.
The Jackie Capri Show.